Welcome back to Money Life. It's time for the big interview, which today is the book interview. That's right. As we've been saying, as we're doing authors, it's really the book interview, just in big interview time. And today, the author I'm talking to is Mark Ardsma, who is the author of Investing with Purpose. Capitalize on the time and money you have to create the tomorrow you desire. And I think everybody feels that they invest with purpose, but this book actually helps you get it into focus. If you want more information, well, Mark has a website. It's ardsma.com. That's A-A-R-D-S-M-A. ardsma.com. If you then add /books, you'll get information about the book. If you add /blog, you'll get information about his blog. And if you want to follow him on Twitter, where you can get keys to a lot of the stuff he's posting on the website, he's at M Ardsma. But right now he's on Money Life. Mark Ardsma, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you. Good to be with you, Chuck.
Like I said, I think everybody believes that they're investing with purpose, but the standard purpose is I need to save money. I need to reach my financial goals. And for you, purpose is not an afterthought. It's a forethought. Explain that difference, because I think until somebody understands how purpose is a forethought, they won't get the rest of the concept.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right about that. And I'm glad that you picked that up from the book, Hey, Success in Communicating What I Want to Say There, that I think it is very worthwhile to do better than kind of a vague sense that I'm going to need money in the future and I should try to earn some and save some and invest some, and step back a little bit from that and say, what do I want to use money for in the future? And how does that relate to the kind of life that I want to have? And what does that mean as far as relationships and location and impact? You know, a lot of people, I think, when they get really honest with themselves, they want to do good. They want to have an impact. They want to help others. They want to, you know, be involved with their family. And so when we can be clear about those purposes, then I think we can make better decisions about how we earn money, save money, invest money, use money.
Okay. And yet, investing with purpose doesn't mean that we have to get all completely touchy-feely and say, okay, now I'm a social investor or what have you. It is really about defining what it is that you want to do and then deciding how you want to proceed. From that perspective, how does somebody prioritize it? I mean, is it simply, okay, first we do the basics and then we do everything else? Or is it we're trying to have that purpose while we're doing the basics?
Yeah, I agree. It doesn't have to be touchy-feely. You know, in my investments, I'm competitive, I'm rational, I run the numbers, and I'm looking for the best return. And that doesn't clash at all with my stated intentions that, you know, dying with a pile of money is not my life goal, that I want to use what I earn to impact relationships and others and causes that I care about. Those go together for me. So I don't buy stocks based on, you know, touchy-feely values. As far as prioritizing, I think in terms of a future vision and a plausible plan that gets you from where you are now to where you want to be. So maybe kind of stepping stones or milestones along that way that connect plausibly one to the next and end in the future that you actually want. And that's why, like you said, we have to start with that purpose and that vision, because only then can you say, does this stepping stone take me closer to what I want? So yes, many of us need to start with the basics, like maybe reducing debt, maybe reducing consumption, increasing earning potential, things like that are probably early stepping stones for a lot of people and worthy of priority. And then as capital grows and as we progress through life, maximizing the growth of that capital might be priority later on.
From my perspective, as I looked at the book in some respects tries to be inspirational. And it is trying to help people to do more than anything what they have perhaps failed to start. Now, you talked about, yeah, maybe you need to start by reducing debt, et cetera. But fundamentally, people need to start by getting off their butts and doing this. And the number one regret, every study that we seem to talk about, the number one regret that retirees have is, I didn't start sooner, I didn't start earlier, I didn't do all those other sorts of things. How can you help somebody explain the actual consequences of, hey, I didn't do this sooner? Because I think most people, even when it comes to financial planning, they start saving, but they don't really start planning till they say, I have enough money to plan with. You know, they don't go hire a financial advisor till they've got some money for that person to manage. So they spend years trying to amass something that they didn't feel is manageable as opposed to getting started. How can you kick people in the pants, give my audience that thing that says, you know, hey, we know that you're doing some of this, but you got to take that next step?
Yeah, I love that. I agree very much with it, that I think we, just human nature is to feel like I don't have enough. I don't have my head above water yet. I'm too worried. I've got struggles and daily challenges and daily bills. And so I'm going to kind of try to get a little bit ahead, and then I'll do something brave and proactive and really future oriented, whether that's, you know, planning and saving and investing, or maybe that's making significant changes like a career change or a major advancement to a career or starting a business. And my story is, as I share some of in the book, you know, starting in my basement after losing my job, having little savings, and really nothing impressive. I don't think I looked like I was ahead of the game, but I said, you know, I think I'm going to work for myself. I've got some software skills. I'm going to set up a computer in my basement and start doing something. And when I look back on that, you know, I guess there were a lot of things I could have been afraid of while I was doing that. But when I look back, the only thing that really scares me is, man, if I had not had the courage to do that day, then I would not have built a software business that generated some momentum and optimism that and encouraged me to start some other businesses, and it all kind of snowballed from there. So I think you're quite right that I do want to kind of kick people in the butt and say, hey, start taking actions now that lead to the future that you want. Don't tell yourself that you're going to get started on those actions when you feel a little more caught up, because that's procrastination. It's a lie most of the time. And you have enough to start now.
You of course, pointed out that your story talks about how you did it, and you had certain gifts in a certain, you know, in a certain field. I mean, mm-hmm. I think about myself. If I have to jumpstart my career, I'm in the media business, which in many respects, the media that I grew up with is all dying. So it's not quite like I have those opportunities. One of the things you encourage folks in the book is to sort of take opportunities or risks that maybe the other guy isn't willing to take. It's not that you've come up with the best idea ever. It's that maybe you've come up with the idea that somebody else didn't do or what have you. Where does that nerve come from? Because I think ultimately is lacking for a lot of people.
Yes, I think you're right. You know, I have a consulting client who has a software business idea. I think it's a good idea. He's got good skills, and we work together on a regular basis on his plans and progress. And I see that, just what you said, that the key difference, and I tell him this too, it's not that you're a better software developer than everybody else. It's that you are willing to take the risk to own this, to create it, to put your neck out. And that's what's going to set him apart from others when I believe he succeeds with this. Where does that nerve come from? I'd say the biggest place that it comes from for me, and probably for a lot of people, is key relationships. You know, people who have been there, people who can talk you off the ledge, people who can say, yeah, this is a reasonable plan, and if it doesn't work out, I'll still respect you and I'll still be here. You know, that's why I have coaches, and that's why I am a coach and a consultant, because when we can kind of share that load maybe it's a financial advisor, but someone who can help us do brave things and share the load with us.
We're just about out of time. If you had one story that you think, you know, would help people understand the book and the chances that you take, what would it be? What's the one that you say, hey, let this be your inspiration?
Wow, that's to pick one. I think one of the themes of my story is a tendency towards forward motion. And as I look back and say, well, you know, I wasn't smarter than everyone else. I definitely didn't have more resources than everyone else. I didn't even have correct ideas half the time. But I always, you know, a friend of mine said to me once, when you start talking about something, you seem to do it soon afterwards. And it's a huge compliment to me. And I think that's what I want people to get, is if you've got an idea, if you've got an intention, if you've got something you want, act on it. Because that's what makes the difference to the outcome.
Well, Mark, great stuff. Thanks so much for joining me here on Money Life.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Mark Ardsma is the author of Investing with Purpose. Capitalize on the time and money you have to create the tomorrow you desire. For more information, go to his website. It's ardsma.com. There are links to his blog and the book specific pages at the Money Life Show recent and upcoming guest page. And Mark's on Twitter at @MArdsma. All right, we just hit the halfway pole on today's show, but halfway means there's plenty more to go. So settle back and relax, and don't you dare touch that dial. We're living the money life, and we'll be back to it in a moment.